So as I just mentioned, people with coronavirus symptoms in England are expected to be told today that they must isolate for longer under new guidance designed to stop the infection spreading. Currently, people with a new and continuous cough, a high temperature or a loss of smell or taste are told to stay at home for at least 7 days. That's now expected to be increased to 10 days in a bid to avoid a spike in cases. So with advice and the current situation changing so fast, it's time for us to speak with Professor Bertie Squire. He's the Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. He's also Honorary Consultant in Infectious Diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. And I must say, he's also very good at helping me to understand what's going on. Welcome back, Bertie. How are you this morning?
Thanks, Lisa. Very kind introduction. I'm fine.
Right. If we can start with what looks like a change in how long people should stay at home for if they display symptoms of COVID. Previously, it was 7 days. Now it could be 10. Why the change and will it make a difference?
So I think that I obviously don't know all of the reasons behind the change, because then that announcement's just coming up in the course of today, I think. But what I can tell you is that we know a person can be infectious 2 days before symptoms develop, and they carry on being infectious during the period that they have symptoms. So for most people, we know that's no more than 7 days. Those who have symptoms lasting longer than 7 days are already advised to carry on self-isolating. And I think that this extension to 10 days is likely to have been made for a couple of reasons. First, we now know that people can shed the virus for some time after symptoms end. There is still quite a bit of speculation as to how infectious that shedded virus might be for that period of time afterwards. But I think this is probably about being cautious to really limit the number of onward infections. And I think the second reason is probably partly about signaling that we all need to continue to take this infection seriously and not underestimate it and not be complacent. So in answer to your second question, will it make a difference? I think it will be part of the way in which we learn to live with this virus and be better at keeping it at bay while we are waiting for the sort of big breakthroughs.
And
yes, I think it's sensible.
And I suppose from what you just said there, that we may in time, as we learn even more about the virus, realise that we have to do it for even longer. You've said we're not sure how infectious it is at the end of the symptoms. It may turn out that we need even longer.
I guess that's a possibility, although I would suggest that it's probably a remote possibility.
Good.
Given I think most likely what we're looking at here is extending it so that we've got something that is durable for the future. But you're right, we shouldn't rule out anything.
People returning from places on the quarantine list were told to self-isolate for 2 weeks. But this really works on trust, doesn't it? Some are going to be worried about jobs and may think it's okay to ignore this because, you know, it's just a precautionary thing. I don't feel anything. It's really important that people do follow it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think the first thing to point out is that there are rises in numbers of cases in Europe, as we know, and that's what lies behind this isolation for the 14 days. And again, this is partly related to the question of how much we know and how much we don't know. We know that basically four things determine the rate of incidence of a disease. So one is the virus itself and its mutation. The second is the proportion of people in the community who are immune. The third is the amount of virus in the community. And the fourth is the behavior of people in terms of coming into contact with each other. We don't know a lot about the first two, the mutation and the immunity. We do know that there is still virus in the community, all across Europe, in little pockets, certainly. And we do know that reducing social interaction, so all of the things that have been associated with the reductions in numbers that we've all managed to achieve, so distancing, isolation of people who've been exposed, hand washing, avoiding crowded places, mask wearing, those are all the things that have made the difference, and we know they've made the difference. So what we're really looking at here is, again, the precautionary principle. We are trying to make sure that the chances of reintroduction of large of numbers of cases from other places has really kept at a minimum. But you're right, it does rest on trust, and it works on the basis that people realize that we are, as I've said before, in this together. And the more we are able to reduce the risks to each other, the better we'll be able to keep this thing at bay.
Bertie, for months people have been shouting about having testing at airports as people come home. Should we be doing that to get more of an accurate picture as people do return to our shores?
Okay, so this is another one that's quite complex to think about. First, we need to remember that airports are not the only ports of entry, certainly from Europe. I mean, it obviously depends a
Good
bit which
point.
countries come back at. But so if we're looking at this, we're talking about testing in all border facilities. And again, that depends a bit on which countries we're talking about. But the second thing that I think we all need to keep remembering is that the tests we currently have at our disposal, unfortunately, doesn't give us the certainty and accuracy that you might like. So there's quite a bit of debate. There are pros and cons. If we think this through, and let's for a minute assume that everyone arriving in the UK from a country on the quarantine list gets a swab test at the border. If the result is positive, then that person and everyone travelling in that group has to self-isolate for 14 days. I think that's fairly clear. The difficulty is that if the result is negative, that person may still be incubating the virus and go on to be positive in the 14 days after arrival, most usually in the sort of first week or so. So self-isolation for 14 days would still be advisable to be on the safe side. There's actually a lot of thinking going on about combinations of testing and isolation strategies. So maybe that there is a test on arrival and another one a bit later on. There are various thoughts going into how we could make that more specific. But for now, what I think we're working on is the thing I already said, this thing about being cautious. We're seeing with this virus that we underestimate it at our peril. And if we think with hindsight, we were probably too slow introducing lockdown. We were probably a bit slow in adopting the wearing of masks. And I think it's important that we learn from that experience and err on the side of caution here, because what we don't want to do is what you mentioned earlier and end up with a really sharp rise in numbers.
Whilst we mention rise in numbers there is a rise in a certain some parts of Europe. Was a rise inevitable as lockdown eases?
Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned at the beginning, there are a number of reasons why numbers might rise. But I think it boils down to something that we need to remember, that this virus has not gone away. So although we've achieved a reduction in numbers, it's not gone away. And while you still have some transmission in the community, then inevitably increasing social interaction will result in an increase in numbers. So it remains important for us to start to, I think, incorporate the behaviors that I've just been mentioning, the ones that we keep repeating, the hand washing and the making sure that we keep our interactions to a minimum. We sort of somehow incorporate those as much as possible into our daily lives, because I think we are going to have to accommodate the way we live with this virus.
Now, when we talk about infection rates, we're talking about them going up across parts of Europe, but we've not yet hit the levels as it was at the start of the outbreak. Is that because the virus is different, or is it because we're different, that we're maintaining social distancing, we're not shaking hands with people, we're washing our hands more, or are other measures working?
No, I think the first thing to say is that you're absolutely right. We do talk about the numbers rising, but they are still at really, really small levels, low levels compared to what we were experiencing at the peak of the kinds of experience that we had here in the UK in March and April. So they are much lower, even though there are some rises. And I think they are much lower, partly because the whole business of lockdown was successful in bringing them down, and partly because people are, on the whole, taking this seriously and are, on the whole, reducing the transmission by their daily behaviours.
Bertie, I love how you say that, you know, on the whole, because I think you're absolutely right. We read in the media and we read on social media about people not wearing masks and not doing this and not doing that. But on the whole, people are trying their best. And Bertie, at some point during our chats, you usually do throw me some kind of a crumb of comfort. Have you got one for me today?
Yes, I have actually. Today's crumb of comfort really relates to something that happened yesterday at the School of Tropical Medicine. We had a visit from the minister for international development, who came to look at the work that we've been doing in infectious diseases generally, COVID included. And she announced formally something that we've known privately for a while. That as in response to some competitive bids for work on improving the control of infectious diseases in poor countries and poor populations where we work overseas, she announced that we were going to get £15.5 million to help with our work, wow, along with our partners in the developing world. And that was a big boost for us. And it includes work on tuberculosis and health systems and within that in making countries resilient to those infectious diseases. So that's a big one for us.
Bertie, that's a big one. We ain't calling that a crumb. That's a whole big cookie. Bertie Squire, thank you so much. I always enjoy talking to you. You always make things
thank
so
you,
clear, but you have this very calm way about you that keeps me calm, and I like it. You take care of yourself. Have a brilliant Thursday. BBC.